842 Galesburg's Morning News. It is Friday. It's Football Friday. It'll be a Football Saturday, a Football Sunday, a Football Monday. Gosh, it's all about football coming up. Yep.
For sure.
Yep, and we do this each Friday morning. We talk with the head coach of the Knox Prairie Fire, Damon Tomeo. Coach, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me in again this morning. A little cooler this morning, but it is definitely football weather as we're cresting into now November, believe it or not.
Yeah, we were just talking off the air about recovering from trick-or-treating. Saw you out the other night, and man, it's, we both walked a long ways.
Fitbit said 2 miles for my family.
There you go. Oh. There you go. All right. So let's talk a little bit. Last week, I know you're a little disappointed what happened out west a little bit, and turnovers were the story of that game. And it doesn't matter. I guess it doesn't matter who you're playing, if the team's good or a team that you think you can compete with and should beat, you can't turn the ball over.
Absolutely. And, again, it's so cliche, but we gave the ball away 6 times last week at Cornell. We got one back, and very difficult when they say you're -5 on the day to win a football game. At one point, we were down just 12-0 and just struggling to get the ball kind of going on offense. We kept giving it back to them and losing 22-7. And what we felt would have been a more competitive game for us, just the turnovers killed us. Killed us.
Yeah. Was there anything came out of the game that the July point you saw?
You know, defensively, I thought we played pretty well. They scored on 2 short fields off of 2 turnovers in the first half, and we'd been playing pretty well. We did a good job managing their offense, the best we've done against them. We kind of had two different things going on offense. Ty Straw running the ball looked pretty good, and Hunter Lee continues to impress catching the football. But, at the end of the day, we got to find the end zone, and that's so important in college football. As you see more and more of these games, that if you can't hold on to the ball and you can't score, and good luck winning the game.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't get any easier tomorrow, the big one, the battle for the Bronze Turkey, one of the oldest rivalries in all of college football, as that team from a little west here will be coming over at Nosher Bowl, 1 o'clock kickoff. And, of course, as we just had Joel Estes in, collecting the chicken noodle soup for blessings in a backpack. And, again, thanks to you and your team for helping out with the community. But, big one tomorrow.
Sure. Monmouth, we know, is a good opponent. Coach Brown there has done a great job this season again and getting them in a good position. It should be in the Midwest Conference, Norbert versus Monmouth in week 10 for the conference championship, regardless of the outcome tomorrow. They've kind of have enough wins at this point to secure the number one seat, and they'll play at Norbert. It rotates every year, so this year it's in the north. And then from there in our conference, it kind of really shakes out a little bit. Lake Forest is kind of in the 2 spot. They got to play Illinois College coming to them today, tomorrow. So that should be an interesting game to keep an eye on in our Midwest Conference play. But in the South Division, there's a jumble between us, Cornell, and Illinois College. So we won't know who we're playing next week probably till Saturday night.
Wow.
Head-to-head is a factor. Quarters led. A lot of math going on. But, we're excited, though, tomorrow. 130 years Knox has played Monmouth College. 130 years. As usual, I asked Bill Allison, since he was at the first game. As everyone knows here in the community, Bill Allison and his wife Joyce, wonderful people, how it was back at that point. But 130 years to be a part of that kind of tradition and history for our program and for our players, it's a neat, neat experience for them.
Yeah, it really is. And you get a lot of fans there from both sides. And whether it's here or over there, it's really, really a fun day.
It's a great atmosphere. It's great and unique college football. People come out of the woodworks for Knox Monmouth. Regardless of the records, regardless of the location, it's going to be an electric atmosphere tomorrow at the bowl.
Well, of course, obviously you'd like to get that bronze turkey back over here. Not an easy task, though.
No, it's a thin margin of error. The turnovers happen in a game like this. It's definitely not going to go our way. We're going to have to be more fortunate in that. And just the little things in the game, we're going to have to manage the emotions of it. We know it's going to be a big emotional day, being a senior day, last home game for our 14 seniors, which is just tremendous thing to think about, that those guys are about to graduate and finish up their careers. But then again, too, in the game, they got some explosive players at Monmouth that can score when they touch the ball. Wide receiver, running back, some guys that have been around for a while. Their quarterback's a senior as well. Defensively, I think they have the defensive player of the year in their defensive end, number 2. And he's kind of fun to watch when you're not playing against him. He's a senior, and we'll be happy to see him graduate as well. So they got a lot of keys for Monmouth this year that are really playing well as they get into this point of the season. So in the Division III play, this is week 9. Week 10 next week, crossover week, championship week, and then we go right into the playoffs, single elimination playoffs in Division III. If you win your conference, you're in, and then they take about 5 teams nationally that are the number 2 seats in their conferences around the country. So it's very, very difficult to qualify for the playoffs, but if you win your conference, you're pretty much going, and that's where it's got to come down to.
well do you think, depending on what happens in that championship game? Because is Norbert undefeated right now?
Norbert has lost once to Wisconsin-Eau Claire in week one or two of the season.
But undefeated in conference play. All right. So say they and Monmouth match up and Monmouth wins the game. Do they both get in your opinion?
Or? Well, there's this little thing called the regional ranking committee that I happen to sit on for the NCAA, which involved in so many different things. And Norbert's going to be in that conversation. But really, it's going to come down to, at that point, wins and losses. And you have one loss, which isn't bad. But they really will have two losses because that non-conference loss to Eau Claire, who is a non-ranked team, hurts them quite a bit. So two losses to get in, very, very difficult. Unless the two losses are teams right above you in the rankings. It rarely happens. Wisconsin-Platteville snuck in a couple years ago in that regard. But most of the time, it's the first and second seats only that will slide in. And the second seat team has probably got to be a one-loss-only team.
Damon Tomeo, head coach of the Knox Prairie Fire. 1 o'clock kickoff tomorrow afternoon, the bowl, the battle for the Bronze Turkey. If you want to just enjoy a great football, college football atmosphere, that'll be the place to be tomorrow afternoon. Again, help out. Blessings in a backpack. Bring your cans of chicken noodle soup, and they're trying to collect 10,000, and do your part to help out.
Yeah, think about that. 10,000 cans of chicken noodle soup. That's a labor project in itself, just storing those. But I know Joel and his crew will be happy to have to deal with that problem. It's a great opportunity to support our community, the elementary schools here in town, that the kids need some food on the weekends, which is just crazy to think that there's not enough food on the weekends for these kids to eat. So if we can support that, it's a Knox-run organization, terrific job, and I know our football players are very much involved with it. So 10,000 cans, we thought this would be kind of a fun number for us to reach. We feel we're going to get there one way or another, and thanks to the community coming out. If you don't have chicken noodle soup, just bring a dollar, and we'll sell you the can, and then you can donate it right back.
There you go. That's perfect. All right. So college football, University of Central Florida, what, 20 straight wins now, I think?
21-0. Central Florida is sitting as they won last night over Temple, and what was a little closer than I think a lot of people picked that game to be. Central Florida, though, still undefeated over two seasons and can't get a high-ranking vote to get them into the college playoffs.
And that's including a bowl win over Auburn.
Auburn.
It wasn't Alabama, but it was still a Southeast Conference team.
Absolutely. SEC team, and it's crazy to think that they still aren't. But that tells you the difference in the Group of Five versus the Power Five out there. And the Power Five seems to get most of the notoriety, which in regard like tomorrow, number 6 Georgia's got to travel to number 9 Kentucky.
Yeah.
There's one. Kentucky.
Yeah,
where did they come from?
Yeah.
You know, so it's always
this is not basketball, this is football.
Right. Seriously. What a year for Kentucky to be in that conversation with football to be in the top 10. Interesting game in the afternoon. Also, West Virginia is going to Texas. With kind of an interesting loss last week with Oklahoma State. Had to be pulling for Oklahoma State myself. But that's the afternoon slots at 2:30. The other one you really want to probably tune into at 2:45 is Penn State traveling to Michigan.
Yeah.
What I found interesting, though, is Michigan is a 10.5-point favorite. 10.5 points.
Really?
Now, it's at Michigan, and the home team's always going to get a little bit of a nod.
Yeah.
But 10.5 points, my gosh, that seems like something's off there for odds makers.
Yeah.
I still think Penn State's playing good football, even though they've lost twice, and it'd be hard to pick against Penn State, especially with 10.5 points to start the game.
Well, there's one pretty big game coming up tomorrow night in prime time.
Right, exactly. Notre Dame is going to Northwestern.
Right, that one.
That's the one that I want to see. Notre Dame at Northwestern. If you really look at the standings in the Big Ten West, Northwestern, number one team in the Big Ten West. Coach Fitz, man, great job. That's awesome.
5-3 overall. So, yeah, that would be huge if they can knock them off.
So, you know, they always sneak in on somebody, and this is another opportunity that Notre Dame might be overlooking, and Northwestern is playing at home. So, oddsmakers have it at 10 points for Notre Dame. I can't argue that, but I do feel that Northwestern could sneak into this one, and it would be an interesting game in the fourth. However, set your DVR so you can go back and forth because at 7 o'clock is the game everybody has been looking forward to. The really only challenge that Alabama has to knock them off as they travel to the Baton Rouge LSU.
Yeah, 1-3 in that one. That'll be a huge one tomorrow night. Like you said, that's at least during the regular season probably the only time they're going to get challenged.
Absolutely. And, again, Alabama coming off of a bye week last week. Golly, that's I know how powerful a bye week is and how restful your guys are. They're itchy to play. You have extra prep time. It's positive after positive after positive. Alabama rarely loses after a bye week, too. You just have so much time to prepare. So hard to pick against Alabama. Now, they say it's a 14-point game. Oddsmakers
are. But at Baton Rouge.
At LSU, which is really hard at the Swamps. You think it's 14 points. Now, if they said 7 or 8, I could see that. But 14, man, I think I would just, for the interest, take LSU, take the points, and turn the game on at 7 and watch it. I think it's going to be a terrific, terrific football game.
Washington State kind of on top of things out west, hosting Cal. Cal 5-3, Washington State 7-1. Is there not really much else going on out west now, is there?
It's kind of falling apart, and there's some odd teams that people are talking about now in the Pac-12, which, you know, Washington State, even this year, we said Kentucky. You got to love college football, that new teams pop up. Washington State ranked 8th in the country, sitting at 7-1 atop the Pac-12 North with the Washington Huskies right behind them. Utah in the Pac-12 South. What? Utah? Where's the rest of them, you know?
Right.
But Utah sitting at 6-2. So just kind of a jumble of teams this year with the usual suspects kind of having some losses. Stanford's at 5-3. USC at 4-4. USC just let one of their coaches go. And not the head guy, but one of the assistants. Middle of the year. Middle of the year, when you start having this kind of issues, let's look down in Champaign.
Right.
Who just...
Hardy Dickerson tried...
Resigned?
It said for health reasons. Like, well, the health was you just gave up an average of 56 points a game the last three games.
Right. You start measuring yards rather than miles because it's easier to measure them that way. It seems less. I have health issues most Saturday nights when we lose, and I know how challenging that can be. So, read between the lines there. Yeah. Things aren't easy for the Illini coming up, and I'm not sure what is going to happen there. That's a tough deal for them in the situation they're in right now. They're at Minnesota, home against Minnesota this weekend. Nebraska's coming in next weekend. I think Nebraska's getting better, and they're going to be okay as they move forward. And then they got two tough ones, Iowa, and then for the state championship with Northwestern.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like, I guess, Lovey's going to be kind of running the defense this week, which he's a defensive guy, but you're also the head coach. That's not an easy thing to do.
And you lost another coach in August. And so you've lost two coaches in 2 months. And, red flags go up in those situations. There's something wrong there. Middle of the season, letting a guy go. I don't know. Something's going on. But 712 yards is 712 yards. So that's a lot of yards to give up.
You know, you talk about those new teams popping up. Here you got normally, Florida State, that's the team we're talking about. No, they're 4-4. They're at number 21, North Carolina State.
Right. NC State.
What's the world's gone topsy-turvy here?
Well, it just tells you that everybody's fighting to get better, and they're going to keep finding ways to do that. In the ACC, still five teams ranked in the top 25. But again, if you read them out, Boston College. What? Yeah. Boston College, 22. Syracuse, 19. North Carolina State, 21. Virginia, we've heard of Virginia, but they're sitting at 25. So it's not a very clean year this year with your normal teams, which is fun because, regardless of who you're following, you're seeing some really good games. And the college football playoffs, I think, are going to be an exciting time as we get into the bowl season.
Damon DeMayo, head football coach, Knox College of Prairie Fire and the Monmouth Fighting Scots tomorrow afternoon. The battle for the Bronze Turkey, 1 o'clock kickoff at the Nosher Bowl. Let's move to the NFL. There was a game last night, and this was the best of the worst matchup. And I, instead of going with a home team, I went with the dumpster fire, and I was wrong.
you guess eventually the Raiders are going to win.
Right,
eventually
exactly.
They're going to
win. That's what I thought. I thought, well, this is a perfect opportunity. I should have gone with a home team, though.
It just wasn't last night.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't last night. It's interesting to see still Gruden at 1-7, what they're doing. But again, first year, always difficult to get the players in the right spots. But the 49ers needed to win also. So someone had to win that game.
Yeah.
So 49ers at 2-7. Raiders at 1-7 on the season. We are at the halfway mark of the season. 8 games played. Some teams have a bye week in there, so you only see 7. But a 16-week season. So this is where you can start kind of evaluating who's got a shot. And I've always felt that 10 wins will get you into the playoffs. And above that, you're really going to start getting in some home games.
Yeah. So, well, I was going to say, a lot of matchups of like middle-of-the-road teams. So there should be actually a lot of really good games this week. But there's that one matchup sitting out there. You got an 8-0 and a 6-1 playing each other.
Probably the game of the week to watch. It's a 3:25 Central Time, the Rams versus the Saints. The Saints are at home. The game has the line. Rams undefeated now. Saints have the 1.5 point, which is a normal NFL spread, 1, 2, 3 points. Mm-hmm. So not much for the Saints. I think that's going to be an interesting game. It's indoors at the Superdome down in New Orleans.
I mean, do you bet against Drew Brees in a big game?
I don't touch that game.
Yeah.
I just don't touch it, unless you're picking them all or having fun with it. But I wouldn't touch it. It's too close of a spread. And I think the Rams are playing well. Saints at home, that's a game I would just kind of keep my hands away from. The one that, in the evening, though, you got to watch what's going on with Green Bay.
Yeah.
3-3-1 on the season. Now the Patriots are sitting 6-2. Slow little start there. Two losses to start the season. However, they've got back on track. Not going to be a fun one, I think, for Green Bay. Right now, it's a 5.5-point spread. Again, when you see that in the NFL, you know that's not good. And it's going to be a tough one, I think, for Aaron Rodgers. Even though it's the battle of the quarterbacks, yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the bottom side of that because the rest of his offense, all the injuries, and defensively, they're nowhere where they need to be.
When we talked a little bit about last week, I said, well, what's the issue? Are they getting old? It's like, well, they're playing a team with a 97-year-old quarterback, so even older than Aaron Rodgers. So it's just hard to figure. We don't know what's going on in Green Bay.
No, it's you know, and it's going to be one of those years, and they're going to have to scratch and claw, you know, to think that they're going to have to pull out, you know, 7 wins.
Yeah.
In the second half of the season, man, that's going to be tough for them. But there's a lot of teams kind of sitting in the middle, and I think some 8-9-win teams are going to sneak into the playoffs this year just because there's so much kind of everybody cannibalizing everybody else.
Bears-Bills. The Bills have struggled. They had a couple good weeks, but they've overall struggled.
How about the Bears being picked to win, 10-point favorites.
Wow.
And they're on the road.
That's which is crazy. After what was it, Tampa Bay? They were had the better record, and they were the underdog. In that one.
Right. So now, what do you say about the Bears? What are you going to complain about?
Right.
I mean, they're 4-3. Game 7. This is game 8. Golly, I mean, Bears fans, you got to at least try to smile because they're playing well. And Trubisky's kind of doing his thing. It's been positive for them. The running game's still doing well. The defense is playing well. This gets you to 5 wins on the season, and you really got a shot of sneaking in the playoffs this year, which. It's insane to think no Bears fans would have admitted in the preseason, like, oh, yeah, we're going to the playoffs for sure. But they are positioning themselves for that.
Interesting. A few Vikings fans around. Or interesting game. Vikings-Lions will be – that's a tough one to call.
U.S. Bank Stadium up in Minneapolis. 5 points for Minnesota, 4-3-1 on the season. And the Detroit's 3-4. So these are more of those teams that are kind of in the middle. Somebody needs to separate themselves from the pack. But I'd go Vikings on this one. It looks like they're at home. Should help them. And the Lions have been kind of struggling trying to figure it out recently.
All right. Steelers have come on as of late. They started slow like the Patriots. They're 4-2 now. At the Ravens, sitting at 4-4.
Yeah, Baltimore's favorite in the game on this one, which is interesting, but they are the home team. Again, when you see a point line of 1, 2, or 3 in the NFL, those are pretty normal lines to see. So Ben Roethlisberger is still kind of doing his thing, but I still don't think they have all the parts around him. The Ravens should win this one.
All right. So any other game you're looking forward to? We've got Chargers-Seahawks out. It should be a good one also.
Yep, for sure, for sure. But you got to see Monday night. It's always a fun game to pick up that last game. It's 2, 3, and 4 teams. Again, more of these teams that are in the middle. The Titans and the Cowboys. It's down in Dallas this time in Arlington. Dallas is behind, though, on this one, which is interesting why they're not picked. But this should be a shootout with the over-under sitting at 40 points. Should be a lot of points scored. Should be a fun game to watch. Dak Prescott still performing well at quarterback for Dallas, but is it going to be enough to win with the visiting Titans?
David Tomeo, Knox College head football coach, joining us. Of course, not too many teams left locally. High school playoffs. Of course, Monmouth Roseville traveling to Eureka tomorrow afternoon. I was a little bit surprised they got the win over Wilmington, which has been a great program. So, you know, I think they got a shot maybe to move on. Of course, Princeville sitting undefeated. They got a tough one. They'll go on the road up to Aurora Christian. And then, of course, you got Washington still in it as well with Sacred Heart Griffin coming there.
Absolutely. Those are really, you picked the three good games. I've had a chance to see Monmouth Roseville play live, and they are a very good team. We cannot talk recruiting and naming names of people recruiting, but I have seen that team live. Read between the lines there. They've got talent, and I think that Monmouth Roseville is good for another week. Washington, we've got to know pretty well into that program. Big challenge was SHG this weekend, but I still feel good about the Washington team. And Princeville has all the parts they need. They're just going to have to play consistent this week to continue on their stretch they're on.
Yeah, there's a weird thing. Aurora Christian won the 3A championship a couple of years ago. Now somehow they're down in 1A. I thought, man, they're going to walk through this, but they had a really tough task. Anawan Weathersfield gave them a great game last week, so I think that bodes well for Princeville.
Absolutely. I think this is Princeville's game to win. Aurora Christian has fallen off with their enrollment. It's just kind of the nature of the beast when you're one of the private schools and trying to keep that enrollment up. Yeah. So it'll be an interesting week, and at this point of the season, you're still playing. You got to be happy because this is tough when you're going into the third round of the playoffs.
Absolutely. Coach, best of luck tomorrow. Battle for the Bronze Turkey, 1 o'clock kickoff at the Nosher Bowl. Bring your cans of chicken noodle soup to help out with blessings in a backpack and get out there and support the Prairie Fire. And even if you're not a fan either way, just get out there. You're going to see a great atmosphere, some great football tomorrow.
It's going to be a fun day at the bowl. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Coach, thanks so much. Best of luck.
Thanks.